Do you remember what the Bible said about Naaman, General Naaman? The Bible says that he was a mighty man of valor, yet he was a leper. You could say something almost like that here with Jethro. The Bible says that Jethro was a mighty man of valor. And let me add this, but he was a bastard. He was an outcast. He was the son of a whore. He had no legal rights to inherit his father's wealth, and his brothers wanted to make sure he didn't even try. Talking about the black sheep of the family, Jethro was exactly that. The outcast, the unwanted, the one they ran off, running right out of the flock. He was too much of a black sheep for them. He didn't fit in to their family reunions. And surely he would not fit into the inheritance of their father. And the Bible says he fled from his brothers. He ran. The Bible says, in the process of time. I read that phrase many times in the Bible. In the process of time. Time has a way of changing things. Time has a way of revealing to us the real us. It also has a way of revealing to us our shortcomings, our needs, and the thoughts of our hearts. In the process of time, Ammon wanted to start a war with Israel. So they went and fetched this outcast, this black sheep, this young man who legally should have never been born, this man whom all considered an evil one, was cast out of the family. And he became a great warrior. And when Israel, when they were about to go to war, what they needed most was a warrior. And this black sheep, he was a black sheep warrior. He knew how to fight. He knew how to win the victory. And that's exactly what Israel was needing at the time. They needed someone that could win. So Jethro went back to Israel with them and became their judge, became the captain of the army. And nothing is more impressive than the attitude that Jethro had. Jethro is anxious to settle this matter without war. He writes letters to the king of the Ammonites to find out what was the problem. Why are you wanting to start a war with Israel? Tell us why. Maybe we can settle this in a diplomatic form. I like those people who had rather talk than fight, who had rather come to a consensus rather than come to arms. Jethro was a wise man in this respect. The king of Ammon sent him a letter and told him that Israel was now living on their land and they wanted it back. He said, when y'all came up out of Egypt, you took our land. Now we want it back. Jethro sent a letter back to him explaining the history of how all of this came down. He told him that when Israel came out of Egypt, they didn't take that land. In fact, they marched around that land, staying clear, and camped outside the borders of the land. But King Sihon got suspicious of us, and he got a bunch of kings together and came and attacked us. He made a preemptive strike, and we fought back, and we won all of that land 300 years ago. And now you're trying to take it back? Jethro said that God dispossessed Sihon and all the kings, and gave this land to us to possess. And then he asked the question, if your God would give you land to possess, would you not possess it? So you would. Therefore, we're going to possess this land because God gave it to us, and we'll let God be the judge. In verse 28, the Bible says, howbeit, the king of the children of Ammon hearkened not unto the words of Jethro. In the very next verse, the Bible says, then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jethro, and he passed over to the children of Ammon. And Jethro vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if you shall without fail deliver the children of Ammon into my hands, then it shall be that whosoever comes forth out of the doors of my house to meet me, when I return in peace, shall surely be the Lord's, and I will offer it up as a burnt offering. It astonishes men when God takes them at their word. Not that they do not mean what they say, but they do not realize all the implications. I'm going to slow down and stay here with this story for just a few moments. The tragic history of Jethro and his daughter is one of the saddest in the Bible. It forms a drama with contrast of joy and sorrow. In fact, the whole life of Jethro was one of drama, driven from his home in his youth to become a fugitive and an exile, then recalled to his father's house to take his place as the head of state with all the pomp and power of a prince, a great warrior, a conqueror, and a judge. The height and joy of his triumph was struck to the ground by sorrow of intense bitterness. The cup of prosperity and joy, which God's goodness has mixed for Jethro, was turned into a cup of bitterness by his own folly and rashness and ignorance of God's grace. Look at the great things that God had done for him. He had delivered him from his life of lawlessness. He had placed him in a high and honorable estate. He had brought him from banishment to the land of the house of his fathers. He had felt the Spirit of the mighty God that strengthened him for the great task. He had gone forth with his army and driven the enemies before his face and crowned him with victory. Jethro returned to his home as the deliverer of the country, the restorer of peace, all glittering with success and glory. A bride in loving spirit, full of affection and joy, overflowing with duty and pride, and was awaiting his return. His daughter, the light of his home, the solace of his cares, was there to welcome him and to double his happiness. His own rash statements, springing from an ignorance of the character of God, caused him great trouble. Jethro felt that he had to make a deal with God instead of by trust in the love and mercy of Jehovah help him win the battle. This rash statement poured into his cup extreme bitterness and poisoned the joy of his victory. The hour of triumph was turned into desolation. The bride home was made a house of mourning. What should have been years of peace and honor were turned into years of trouble and despair. Jethro had no one but himself to blame for this lamentation. How often do we feel that we have to make deals with God? God loves us. We don't have to make a deal with God because God is so willing to come to our aid. You don't have to be like Jacob, who made a deal with God. Jacob told God, if you'll bless me, prosper me, bring me back home to my father's house, you will be my God, and I will surely pay you 10% of all I have. My friend, learn a lesson from this. God is so willing to help you. God is so willing to answer your cry for help. You don't have to make deals with him. You are his child. He will help you. Only trust him. I'm going to end the lesson right here. The point that I have been trying to make in this lesson is that God loves you. He is more than willing to come to your aid in times of trouble. You don't have to make rash promises, promising things that you may never be able to keep. Just simply trust him.